Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, ladies and gentlemen. The mainstream press lost the debate last night, so the mainstream press tells you. I think it's all bogus. It's staged. And there's all kinds of articles everywhere about what happened last night. We played you sound bites last hour of Ted Cruz's absolutely taking on the press and Rand Paul's comments mostly throughout the night. The problem is now there's article after article after article about what supposedly went down. The 11 most hilarious things that happened last night. I guess they say Ted Cruz said he'll drive you home in his car. I guess the moderators encouraged the candidates to fight. They say that Jeb and Rubio did that. In the debate beforehand, I don't know what you call it, the JV debate, which I find insulting also. Because, look, you got a lot of these politicians that are not even in the double digits, and they're on the main stage, but some of the others aren't. Now, it's kind of interesting. Senator Lindsey Graham asked the audience to remember about his fist, whatever that means. Okay? Just goofy stuff. Right? They had debates about issues that don't even matter. Right? They opened up the floor regarding questions about Carly's smile. That's important for sure, Kurt. They talked about fantasy football. Okay, which led straight into roasting the media, supposedly. Quite a few of the candidates, they say, got along quite well. In fact, one of the key points is that Ted Cruz was very nice to Rand Paul. You want to know why? Because the mainstream press says Rand Paul's about to circle the drain, and Ted wants to make sure he picks up the libertarian support that Rand has. So Rand was really nice, Cruz was really nice to Rand.
Seems like that Cruz has been nice all the way along. I've never known him, at least in any of these debates, to attack any of the other guys.
You're right.
At least from what I've seen.
You're right, but he was exceptionally complimentary to Rand.
Okay.
And, they say some candidates really cut loose, Kurt. They got it done. Ultimately, what we all learned is you should not try to mug Donald Trump. So, Kurt, Donald Trump, according to the Drudge poll, 52% for Trump. Nobody else even comes close. Cruz second, but he's only in the, 20s, Kurt?
Yeah. They got a little over a quarter million voters, that participated in their poll. And, the reason they get a lot, number one, they have a great website. Number two, they don't do like Newsmax, for example, that wants you to put in your email. They want you to put in all your info.
That's because Newsmax is a bunch of thugs, too.
Here's how you vote. You can vote right here. And when you do it, you get to see the results. And, they also, I know they keep track of like your computer. You can vote on a different computer, but it says, if you come in with the same one, it says something like, we'll think you already voted or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Now let's, they say it was a war against CNBC. The moderators were booed again and again. Hannity, I got to give the mainstream press, Hannity's kind of lagging in his hosting numbers, and so we're going to give Hannity a little plug here. Hannity will go down in history as a really bad night for the media. That's what Hannity said.
Yeah.
So Hannity's saying, hey, it'll go down really bad. But Hannity, you're part of the mainstream press, aren't you? Part of like Fox and stuff? Those are the guys that had like one of those debates too. And they were, Fox was attacked at not being fair too, right?
Yep.
So look, do you think all three networks are stupid enough to fight and argue with the candidates and by mistake put their foot in their mouth? These are the media experts, Kurt. You think they did this by mistake and by golly, they just got lambasted like they want you all to believe?
Well, as you mentioned, very astutely, that when you have fireworks, then that's what people want to see. The old phrase in the media, if it bleeds, it leads, or, stuff like that. And so even if people didn't watch it, now they're hearing about it.
Yeah, that's
big
right.
Big time because of what went on.
That's right. So that's what's at play here. The media did not fall on its sword and really make a mistake. They control every aspect of this, folks. They didn't just melt down and, by golly, the candidates just rocked their world and the poor media, man. It was a bad night for those people. No, it was a great night for those people. They don't give a rip about what you think, about the real issues, about what it takes to get ratings. They're going to do it. Political theater, reality TV all rolled into the debates here, and all the candidates all too willing to play ball. Now, Trump has 52% according to the Drudge poll. We're looking for other polls, but almost everybody said Drudge. I mean, almost everybody said that Trump won the debate, basically. But here's the question. What did Trump really do to act the statesman, to come across presidential, whatever phrase you want to use to articulate, be the adult in the room, lay out a cogent plan for the Republic? Trump boasts about limiting debate time. Why, Kurt?
Well, number one thing, I saw this, whenever it was, a couple of weeks ago, this story came out we talked about this. He and Ben Carson said, man, a three-plus-hour kind of thing where they, just endure for so long standing up for three-plus hours is just crazy. And he was right. They were right. They both told the CNBC guys, we're not going if you're going to have it that long. He simply told the audience that was the case, and nobody wants to sit there for all that time and have to endure that long, because it's you can get it done in less time, and he was right about that.
As if you ask real questions and focus on how to fix the country, though, Kurt. If you want to fill that sucker with commercials to promote your advertisers and fill it with political theater and Jerry Springer-type antics and argue with everybody and just create a meltdown of no substance, then, buddy, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Now, so the interesting thing is they talked about this story weeks ago. You're right, Ben and Donald. But then last night, Donald boasts about limiting debate time so we can get the quote, hell out of here.
Uh-huh.
All right, there you go. So, Rand Paul swearing at the family, and the Trumpster wants to just get the H out of there, buddy.
Yep.
That ought to make you feel presidential, I'm just saying.
Good point.
Now, I realize that it's too long. It's not full of substance. I get all that. But I don't really get what's going on here at all. And I don't really get what was discussed. I don't get the substance. Really at all. I don't get any of it. Now, Jeb Bush called Rubio to resign, Kurt. But then Rubio destroys Jeb. What do you think of that? Or you want to respond to that piece of the pie?
Well, I mean, you heard it, right?
Yeah, so the bottom line is that what happened is that Jeb tried to take on Rubio. He didn't look him in the eye at first.
Well, I didn't see it. I just heard.
Yeah, he didn't look him in the eye at first. He kind of melted down. And so he tried to start. The problem is that Jeb Bush was so quiet during the first part of the debate that he had to do something to break out, or he's going to lose all of his donor support. So he tried to take on Rubio, and he lost big. But here's what he did. Jeb calls for Rubio to resign because he says, hey, Rubio, you haven't even been there to vote in the Senate. You've got the worst voting record since this campaign started ever. You're not serving the people. You're not. And Rubio just looked Bush in the eye and absolutely spanked him hard. Rubio destroyed Jeb because Rubio basically said, hey, you know what? You're just trying to attack me. You've endorsed me before and supported me plenty of times. I've looked at, he didn't say this exactly, but I've looked at you kind of as a mentor. We've been friends. Now you're attacking me just because we're running for the same office. And bottom line is Rubio looked quite presidential and Bush looked like an absolute failure. That's how the event went, Kurt. Is that how it sounded
to
you?
Bush is going to go ahead and Bush is going to go ahead and turn in his, resignation.
Yeah, he's hanging up the hat right now.
Yeah,
that's right. Winding the campaign down. Yeah. Okay, but the bottom line is the debate was an absolute waste of time. What did Trump do, Kurt, to look presidential? Do you know of anything?
You know, at least to me. In other words, the real question behind your question is why is he getting so many votes?
Yeah, right? Sure.
Because the looking presidential is not, in my opinion, I know that's, people say it's important to have the hair or,
I don't mean looking like that. I mean, how did he behave in a presidential manner? What did he deliver that would help provide leadership to protect and restore America?
At least in my opinion, the only thing that really gets him the big, big votes, the big support, is his stand, number one on immigration, number two on trade. And that is, that's got people, excited about him simply because they see those two things as big time problems.
And did he talk about that a lot last night?
He did mention it.
He mentioned it. All right.
Yeah, but it doesn't take long to say, hey, we're going to bring back jobs and we're going to make sure that we have stuff going on right at the border.
Yeah, all right. Presidential Trump going on.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Why does Donald Trump have such a commanding lead? Kurt brings out, you know what? People want to deal with immigration very seriously, and they want to bring jobs back, and Trump's answering the call for both of those. I think there's a lot of truth to Kurt's point. On The Blaze, they talk about the debate, and they say breaking down the facts. Dateline Washington Associated Press. Ben Carson pitched a tax plan with numbers that don't add up. Hate that. Donald Trump boasted that he's paying his own way in the campaign, but he isn't. Chris Christie accused the government of stealing Social Security money that is actually borrowed and being paid back with interest, they claim.
You know, that's one thing I got to say about Chris Christie. I think it was his comments about the Social Security system and about how it was worse than Bernie Madoff's thing. And I thought, well, that's a good point.
You know, it is a great point. But it's all designed, manipulated by the media to make a couple of points so that you believe in Christie more than Rand Paul.
No, yeah. In my opinion, what it's, at least if you take the right message from it, you say, hey, see why we got to get rid of Social Security.
Amen. I agree with you.
Ponzi scheme.
Don't worry, though. Ted Cruz even talked about the price of hamburger going up. Hmm. Or no, Ted Cruz did. Sorry, Ted Cruz, hamburger going up. Anyway, the bottom line is, I think the debate was an absolute waste of time.
Well,
I don't really see what was talked about. Now, you say, Sam, you guys waste too much time when these debates come out. Why do you even care so much? Because I believe we can take absolute solid guidance from the points they bring up and show you how irrelevant they really are. I don't care if Rubio and Bush have a little feud, a little side feud. Okay, I don't care about all the arguing with all the different media networks and the candidates claiming they're not being fair, the mainstream press defending itself by saying it comes with a job. Okay, because I think it's all political theater. I think it's all scripted, as Rush Limbaugh wisely admitted. Trump says so. Rand says so. Rubio says so. Cruz says so. Okay, I mean, look, it's beyond debate now that the mainstream press is absolutely, I would submit to you, the biggest part of the problem with America today, Kurt. But the real question is, what issues should we be discussing? What issues ought we be talking about? And what solid constitutional directives could literally change the game, Kurt, to restoring America to its roots, to its greatness, to its, okay, where are the solutions found, etc. So, Kurt, if you were to discuss issues of importance for America, see, the mainstream press are claiming that they don't get really a chance to tell you who they are and what they really stand for and what they'd really do to fix the country. But I've offered that we would, and they don't give us the time of day. Which I find disingenuous, to say the least.
Yeah. Or lying.
Or lying, yeah. Now, if Ted Cruz got on the campaign stage and said, listen, I've gone on Liberty Roundtable on 50 different talk shows and they give me a fair shake, and he would have made the point and doubled down with efforts towards that point, I would give him nothing but credit. And even if he didn't come on Liberty Roundtable Live, even if he said, Sam Bushman's goofy, I like everybody else, I'll go on all these other shows, you know, I would be fine with that, too. It's not about Sam Bushman. But it is about being genuine. If you're going to criticize the mainstream press and somebody who will give you a longer length interview relating to the questions at hand and how to fix America, and you don't take those opportunities, I find you disingenuous. All right, but here's the point. What items, and this is why I spend so much time on showing you what a Jerry Springer fiasco the debates were. What issues would you focus on, Kurt, if you had time? Let's say that you had 10 minutes in the debates or whatever for your comments, or even 5 minutes, Kurt, 3 minutes, 30 seconds, whatever number you want to use. What would you focus on, Kurt?
Well, you know, the one thing about the question, like your question, for example, leads me to a certain place. When the media people ask the question, I think most people, you know, that grow up and are taught by their parents to be, you know, not rude or whatever, they're going to try to answer the question they've been given. But what, you know, the good, and I have to put that in quotes, good politician does is they, if they're asked a question, they just answer the way they want it. Do with their time.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even know what the question was when you're done, huh?
Yeah, well, I can't really tell. But, you know, many times you want to avoid the question because if you're going to try to get your message out, like with Rand's 6 minutes that he had, you know, I feel like he did pretty well, but he could have done much better. You know, when you're under the gun and you've got your, you know, few seconds in the sun and most everybody's getting interrupted every time, then you know you've got to
Yeah, it's hard to stay focused and deliver what you really want to. And that's why I say that it's so important to go to these alternative sources that will give you time to clarify your statements, give you time to not be so under the gun, 10-second soundbited, so to speak. I agree 1,000%. And I've even made mistakes in the media, Kurt, when I'm under the gun. It's impossible not to. And they know that, Kurt.
Yeah.
That's by design. And then instead of giving someone a pass, knowing full well that's not what they intended, they make a mountain out of a molehill and promote that manipulation. They did it to Trump many times. They've done it to Rand Paul over and over and over. But really, what would you focus on if you could just have your senses, your wits about you, whatever you want to say, and deliver whatever message you felt like was the most important to articulate who you are, what you would stand for, provide solutions? I'm not even trying to frame the question. I'm trying to make it as open as I can, but provide opportunities for solutions and for freedom for you or any candidate to really tell me what you want to tell me. And so I hope I'm not manipulating the question. It's not a desire to pin you down or it's as open-ended as I can make it. What would you think is important, and how would you deliver it, and what would you know, where would you go if given that opportunity?
Yeah, I would first say, look, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not aware of this, we've come far afield from our original place where we should have been with the Constitution. We've left it. We've not followed it. We need to return to it. I know I've got a limited amount of time, but, you know, that's the bottom line. We need to be there. We need to return to God's following God's commandments so that we can receive his blessings upon our families and our country. That's pretty much the bottom line, at least with me. All the other factors, you know, the getting rid of the Federal Reserve, the IRS, all those different things are all, you know, they're all underneath that overwhelming umbrella, I guess you'd say.
And I would completely agree with that, Kurt. But that's what, see, why don't they ask the candidates that? I'd just be interested in just a free form of discussion. Was my question fair? Was it open-ended? Or did I try to push you into a area? I did my very best to be open to say, what matters to you, Kurt, and why? And what would you speak of? What would you do? What would you? And if each candidate was given, you know what, like 3 minutes to really do that, I could see some real stark differences in the candidates quite quickly. There would be no attacks, because I'm asking you what you want, what you would do, what you think, what you believe. Where would you go for answers, solutions? What issues would you make the pivot points, or whatever you want to call it, of your campaign? Was it an open, fair question, or was it leading the witness, so to speak, Kurt?
No, it was fine. At least for me, it was.
Okay, why don't the candidate, or why don't the mainstream press talking heads do that kind of stuff?
Well, because in my opinion, you mentioned they're talking heads. They're not really, at least I don't believe, the insiders, the people that control, he who owns the media makes the rules. They don't really want solutions, Sam. They want, you know, the problems to continue.
What a sad day in the Republic. I would ask very neutral questions, but I would bring up topics that are important to understand. The reason that I'm telling you this is if we ever get a chance to interview any of these candidates, I want them to understand what I would do. I would be fair. I'll explain a couple of points that I believe are critical, and I would leave them open-ended so they can answer in the way they best see fit. The American people can be the judge, can't they?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm offering free time to all registered candidates, free airtime at my expense. I'm the one that is calling for a talk show host moderated debate. If the mainstream press is going to be so abusive in all three networks to these candidates, then let's bust out and get some fairness in here. And so Sam even goes so far as to outline exactly how we plan to moderate a fair and equitable debate. And it starts with how you ask the questions. The first question that I would ask would be so open-ended that every candidate would really get a fair chance to really talk about what they think is important. I would just simply say, hey, in America, what do you think is important? If you could tell the world anything, what would you tell them? You got 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever time allows. And I think you would see some real differences in the candidate. What do they think is important? What would they focus on? Now, you could say, well, Sam, that's done in the opening and closing statements. You don't even understand debating. You don't even understand the layout here. I don't think so. Because the opening and closing statements are maybe designed to do that. But the problem is the candidates are so short on time, if you will, and so trapped by the questions asked that the opening and closing really is used to try to set the stage so they don't get barbecued and then to try to recover from any snafus along the way. That's traditionally what goes on. So I would open-endedly just say, what do you think would be to fix America? What would you do? Now, I'm going to take 30 seconds to answer that question myself because I don't want anybody to think that I'm not willing to answer the questions that I'm willing to ask, okay? By the way, are the mainstream press bureaucrats and thugs and insiders willing to answer the questions that are brought to them? I don't think so, but I am. You can ask me any question you want. LibertyRoundtable@gmail.com. Get it done. I'll answer it on the air. All right, now, what would I bring up for America? I love what Kurt said. He brought up that, you know what, folks? We need to return to our constitutional roots, and we need to return to our God. Man, that is so well said. I think Kurt would actually rule the debate with that kind of comment if you took it seriously. Because that brings us right back to the core, doesn't it? I would add to Kurt's comments that, you know what, we need to promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property. And the way we promote God, family, and country is we live godly lives, first of all. We cleanse the inner vessel, so to speak. And then we teach our families, our loved ones, to do the same. And so family is the fundamental unit of society. And I don't care what plans you put in place for the country. I don't care what bills you have on the docket. I don't care how much money you spend. I don't care what you do. Until you literally focus on the fundamental unit of society, the family, you will not gain ground in the culture war. You will not gain ground in the proper role of limited government. Because remember, all government is a elected representation of the fundamental leader of society, which is the family. And you will not have a stronger nation than you have families. Okay, you won't. So I submit to you that we need to talk about what would really protect the family. What would really make a difference for the family? So I would promote God, family, and country. And I would say we've got to return to our constitutional roots, no doubt. Which means a whole lot less government, a whole lot less regulation. It means honest money. It means government, federal government gets out of education, gets out of marriage, gets out of all the things that they have no constitutionally defined authority for. There's no consent of the governed given, if you will. Okay, we need to use nullify now and separate the proper role of government into its intended compartments. In other words, the separation of the federal government and the states, the separation of the legislative branch, the judiciary, and the executive branches. We need to have checks and balances between those, okay? Sure, that's on the government level. On a God level, we need to keep God's commandments and look to God, not government, for answers and become a repenting, praying nation. But when it comes to the family, the first thing that you could do, in my humble opinion, to protect the family would be to quit killing the most innocent among us, our babies. If you can't double down in defense of pro-life and reject the pro-death message, I don't know how you're going to ever protect the family. I mean, even China realizes the folly of their one-child policy now, and now in China you can have two kids. But Rand Paul's out there swearing about people having too many kids. It's crazy. Okay, so the answer is God, family, and country. All right, so I'm going to outline exactly how I'd moderate this debate. I'd first give an open-ended question to let the candidates pick the topics that matter to them. And why? Okay? I would then talk about governing values. And I would list 10 or 12 governing values on the board. All right? Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Now, which of those core values appeal to you most and why? I'm not going to bait it. I'm not going to manipulate it. I'm not going to pit anybody against anybody else. I'm not going to try to make it a competition. I'm just going to try to let you talk to me, the voter. And I want you to tell me which one of those you identify with. Obviously, I hope all of them, but which one speaks to you and why? And to me, loyalty is one of those items that top the list. Are you going to be loyal to your country? Are you going to be loyal to your spouse? Loyalty denotes honesty. Loyalty denotes fidelity too. I mean, how can you break your covenants with your spouse if you're loyal to her or him? How can you break your contract with the country, your oath of office, if you're loyal? Okay, so that's just me. But what would they pick and why? Trump might say, I'm courteous. I picked that because I'm courteous to women. Fine. But I'm saying you're going to find some. One of the things that you can use in this debate questionnaire reality is when you interview somebody for a job. And I've done plenty of job interviews. I've been on the employer side of a lot of job interviews in my day. What would you ask applicants for a job? Isn't that what we're doing here, ladies and gentlemen? Let me just be clear. Isn't that what's happening here? We are the interviewers. We have, it's sad to say, the media has kind of instilled themselves as the mouthpiece for us. That's the problem, isn't it? But what are they doing? They're interviewing. We are interviewing these candidates to decide who we think should get the job, the top job, of President of the United States of America. Isn't that what we're doing, Kurt? So I would treat it like that. And I'd say, look, if you have a personal flaw, if you have something that you're not good at or something that you need to work on, Kurt, what would it be? If we worked with you for a year or two, what would we find out about you that we might not like? And that question is not designed to attack you, but it is to first see if you will even agree that you have any weaknesses. Secondly, it's to really kind of get an understanding that, you know, what do you consider your faults, your things that you could work on? And I'll tell you a couple for me, because I'm not trying to attack anybody. I think that part of my problem is I talk too much. I want to tell everybody how it is, and I need to listen more. Now, I know Kurt's about ready just to, like, play the clapping machines over that one. And he deserves to. He's probably right. Okay, but I'm a talk show host. That's what I do is talk, you know? Okay? But I truly believe that's a weakness of mine. Another weakness of mine is because I'm quite intelligent. I'll be fair about that. I'm pretty smart. And because I believe that I think through issues, I'm very careful to think through things. I'm not always right, but I do believe that I'm right most of the time. And that's kind of a flaw, because you can be humble, and I probably need to learn to be a little more humble. So I would say that I talk too much, and I'm not quite humble enough. I know it's something that I got to work on. I get all that. I mean, sometimes even tell you how humble I am, right? That's even worse, because it articulates that maybe it's not true. I try to be humble. I try not to try to be a rock star to think that I know more than everybody else. But when I think through issues and when I hear people go off on issues and I can tell they haven't even well researched the topic they're going off on, or they don't look to the right place for solutions, I get frustrated quickly. I got to stop that and realize that, you know what, just because Sam thinks a certain way on something, that doesn't mean that's really the way it is. Sam doesn't have, a monopoly on the way it ought to be. Well, maybe I have a monopoly on the way it ought to be, but I certainly don't have a monopoly on the way it is. See what I mean? So, okay, those are my faults. I'm sure I've got plenty more. Don't ask my wife and some of my best friends. They'll go off, and they deserve to probably, because, you know, I'm kind of a difficult person a lot of times. I'm sorry about that. I try to do better every day. But I believe those are two of my weaknesses, Kurt, that I talk too much, and I don't really listen well enough. So that's kind of one and the same. And, you know, when I was a kid, they always used to say to me, Sam, you have two ears and you have one mouth. Use them proportionately, please. Okay, good point. Okay, and then I always tend to think that I'm right. And sometimes I'm not right, Kurt. Many times I'm not right. And sometimes my mother always used to say to me, Sam, is it a matter of you being right or being humble? Sometimes you don't need to be right. It's better to be humble. Well, Ben Carson's got a lot of that in him that I see that I don't have, that I need to learn from. So, Kurt, don't you think it's appropriate to ask them where their weaknesses are and see what they say about themselves? It's pretty insightful, in my opinion. Or would that be considered an attack?
No, I enjoyed that part of the debate. Whatever you call it. You know, that was interesting to me. It's probably especially Trump's comments were pretty interesting, too. But, you know, he's just kind of funny to me, typically. But
he is funny. He delivers well. He's a great speaker, a great deliverer, no question about it.
Kind of entertaining.
He is entertaining at that. All right, when we come back, I got a couple other questions that I think would be worthy of asking, and I'll tell you why, etc. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby, Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
What questions would we ask if we were the debate moderator? So I told you I'll give all these guys free airtime, all registered candidates. Sam outlines exactly how we would moderate an equitable and fair debate. All right, Sam promotes the idea of a talk show host moderated debate. What questions would we ask if we were the debate moderators? And I'm telling you right now, and I'm willing to answer the same questions I'm willing to ask, by the way. So I said before, I said, what are your greatest weaknesses? The goal is not to attack anybody, but I want to understand in their minds. Do they believe they have weaknesses? Are they like, hey, I'm, you know, God's gift to you guys, and I don't have any weaknesses? Well, that's kind of what was said last night a little bit, right? It was joking, but the question is it half serious? Okay, I articulated, I'm pretty vulnerable. I laid out a couple of weaknesses that I have, and I'm sure Kurt will triple down and tell you they're true. I think it's a pretty reality check self-assessment of myself. And of course, I'm probably not humble enough about that, and I'm sure I got plenty of other issues, but those are what I would pick about myself. I hope it would be insightful, but I think that's valuable to know. The next question that I would ask the candidates is this. What would you point to as your biggest success in life? And why? What is your biggest accomplishment in life and why? Okay, you don't have to answer. It could be an experience. It could be an event. It could be something you overcome. I don't care. The goal is to open in the question, not to restrict it. What would you pick? And I'll tell you what I would pick for me. One of my greatest accomplishments, I'll tell you two of them. One, I was able to go on a mission for my church. In other words, be a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and share the gospel of Jesus Christ for 2 years. And it was very hard. But it was very rewarding indeed. It was hard because you get rejection all the time from people that don't want to hear what you have to say about Jesus Christ. And you care about people's souls and you pray for them and you worry and you wonder and you pray and you do your very best and you work real hard. Okay, that had a lot of discouragement on one hand, but it had a lot of rewards and I was grateful. I would say it's one of my greatest accomplishments. I learned so much while in the service of my God and in the service of my fellow man. Second greatest accomplishment in my mind is my wife and I are in the middle of raising 8 absolutely wonderful children. We've been married 23 years and counting. And you know what? 2 of our children are married. The third one's getting married pretty soon. You know what? We've done a lot of child raising. Our oldest kid's 22. Next one's 21. Next one's, 19. It goes on down the list. And I would say that one of my greatest accomplishments is to be able to be married to my wife and to work through all the life's challenges of a marriage. And I don't mean that me and my wife argue or fight, but I'm saying there's money issues, there's health issues, that, you know, life is bumpy road, right? Okay, but I've managed to stay married to the same woman. I love her to death. I love her every day more than I did the day before. And I've been married for 23 years, and we've had the opportunity to raise 8 absolutely beautiful children. And I've had the opportunity to enjoy that ride, so to speak, or be part of that. I've been able to be a dad. I've been able to be a husband. I've been able to be a mentor, a friend, a counselor, a cry on my shoulder, you know, a leader, a servant, everything that the family offers, I've been able to do because of my wonderful wife deciding that I was the man for her, kind of thing. And to me, those are my two greatest accomplishments. They really are. And it represents 25 years of my life between the two. Half of my life. But that's what I would point to. What do you think of that kind of a question for the candidates, Kurt? Crazy?
I like it. No, I enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, what would you
But
would
it
you
won't
put...
get people fighting up there.
I don't want to fight. You
know? Well, I know, but that's
the Prince of Peace wouldn't try to get people to fight.
Yeah, good point.
The Prince of Peace would try to get people to unite.
Yes, he would.
Well, I thought that was what we're trying to do in America.
Well, not really, Sam.
I know, and that's the saddest part of it all. And that's why I'm kind of so critical of these people, because I don't mean to be critical of them, but I'm just saying, what good is what if I were on the campaign stage and I just simply, instead of switching gears and attacking the media, which, by the way, they deserve to be attacked. I do that plenty myself. But what if one of those guys just went off and said what I just said, Kurt?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to make up my own questions with my time. Thanks for turning it over to me. I'm going to ask myself a question, then I'm going to answer it, since you guys are not really willing to ask the questions that I'd like to have asked. What if they did that?
Well, that's kind of what they do, at least in
kinda,
my opinion.
Yeah.
When they get asked a question, they don't really answer it because they have the right to say what they want, I guess.
Yeah, what would you pitch? What would you say are some of your greatest accomplishments or whatever you want to say, the things that you've succeeded at or your whatever? I want to make it as open-ended as I can. I'm trying to make the question open for freedom for you to choose whatever you want to talk about. What would you say, Kurt, is your success or accomplishment or, you know, when you look at your life, what would you say? Man, you know what? This has been awesome. Whatever the case may be, what would you pick for you in your life?
Well, you know, I know this is going to sound pretty boring, but it's basically the same things that you've said. You know, that at least
Kurt just
me,
told you how boring
really
I was,
means,
folks. How do you like that?
No, I'm talking about how boring I would be. No,
I understand. I'm just teasing.
Since I'm not coming up with anything new, simply because, you know, you mentioned your service to your God and your as a missionary, and that would be what I'd point to in the early part of my life, and then after that, you know, my family life. That
if we go down the list further, I would point to that Sam and Kurt together have humbly dedicated literally hours. I'm telling you how humble I am. See, I'm probably not very humble, but I'm just saying we have done our very best to build something out of nothing. We had a dream to build a challenge to the mainstream press, to build an opportunity for open forums and true discussions pointing to the solutions in America. And I would say we've been incredibly successful at that with very little resources, Kurt. I would say that's a great success of ours. And it's not just us that make it happen. It's all of you, our listeners, our family, our friends, our loved ones, those around us. I'm not trying to take credit for it as much as I'm trying to say that I've been grateful to be part of it. Kurt, do you want to add to that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's really true. I remember in the early days, you know, I mean, we really, all we wanted to do was, I mean, it just kind of gradually grew, but we felt that, hey, we had a duty. Neither one of us have served in the military, as many others have either fought or died for our countries. We've got family members who have, and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, we felt a need to, you know, serve our God, family, and country. And as we saw opportunities, we did our best to take them. And, you know, we'll continue to do that. And we also appreciate those around us who have done the same thing and give us encouragement, either by their actions or thereby maybe their own phrases,
finances, like listenership, the list goes on.
You know, I can think of different people who've touched our lives and kind of helped us along the way and said, hey, you know, give us an attaboy or whatever you call it.
And they've sometimes had to give us correction too, Kurt.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's...
Which is all right.
Yeah, big time. True.
I know it's a, you know, bitter pill to swallow on occasion, but so I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to tell you how awesome we are and stuff like that. You know, as a talk show host, it's hard to be entertaining and direct and be an authority on a subject and be humble at the same time, right? So it's an impossible shoe to fill, if you will.
Right.
But I do my best to try to really say that it's not about me and to truly mean that. I hope when people meet me and shake my hand, they really believe that. It isn't about me. I'm not here to be a rock star. I'm not here to say Sam knows and you don't know, sit down and shut up kind of an idea. I'm not here to do that. But I am here to provide leadership about what matters most and point people to solutions. And I am here to critically think through complicated topics. And I do believe we have a lot of wisdom to bring to the table on a variety of topics in business and society and life and family and otherwise. But I'm here to tell you that I'm convinced last night's debates were all a big old sham. Rush Limbaugh said it's all scripted, and I could not agree more. But I'm going to tell you why I say that, Kurt. WorldNet Daily wrote an article, okay? And the article WorldNet Daily had was a slightly different headline than I'm going to give you right now. I rewrote it because I didn't believe their wording was, well, I thought I could do better. See, there you go for humility. That's Sam, right? But here's the point. Actually, that's not true. The real reason I changed it is because I need enough of my own headlines, not just to take from the mainstream press all the time. But I want to give WorldNet Daily credit because they brought this up as well. I've been thinking this for a long time, and I've been saying it for a long time, but they deserve credit because they wrote a masterpiece on it, Kurt. But the headline says this. GOP insiders prefer Hillary as president. So the GOP insiders know they don't have a candidate that flies, Kurt. And as a result, they're just basically in bed with the media to destroy any confidence we have in the Republican side of things so that Hillary can become president. And the insiders are like, hey, if Bush can't get it, might as well give it to Hillary. If Rubio can't get it, might as well give it to Hillary. We're not going to let Rand Paul or Donald Trump or anybody else that's get it. We're going to engineer it. We're going to rig it so that Hillary gets the nod. And I think that's what they're gunning for, Kurt. And I think the mainstream press is all too willing to partner up on that plan. And WorldNet Daily wrote an article about it. I've been telling you that forever. But the headline is, GOP insiders prefer Hillary as president. Yeah. And I think it's that simple, Kurt.
Yeah, that does sound pretty right.
And if it isn't true, all you, quote, conservative candidates, why don't you come into an open forum with talk show host moderators that will give you a fair shake. We'll ask open-ended, appropriate questions about who you are and what you stand for, and we'll let you talk as not to be interrupted. That will create, instead of a fight, we'll create a unite-type atmosphere and give you candidates an opportunity to really tell the tale of how you could be part of the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That is my offer, free airtime. That is my challenge, a talk show host-moderated debate. And then I even outline exactly how we plan to moderate a fair and equitable debate. And then I even say to you, what questions would we ask if we were the debate moderators? But I believe the GOP insiders prefer Hillary as president to any of their colleagues. And that's why we've got the problems and the fiasco and the Jerry Springer-esque waste of time that we saw last night. And the other two debates as well. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.